about their experience in church. Some people will have great experiences, some people have bad, some a little bit of both. Some people may not have no experience with church. We might get the opportunity to share Christ with somebody, who knows?
They preach that word, I don't care what church it is. Telling the truth, I don't mind.
I was raised in a Southern Baptist church right outside of Richmond.
Okay.
And then I'm the most blessed person you'll ever meet in your life. I wouldn't say that I'm very religious, but I'd say I'm very spiritual.
So you've been going to church for a long time then?
My whole life.
It's a good thing. Jesus rules. So you'd say your experience would be pretty good with church?
Oh, for sure.
I love it. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yes, sir. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
16.
Wow.
I went to a couple churches that were bad, and I went to one church for quite a few years that was good. They were the only ones who weren't about money. So a lot of churches, more about passing the collection plate. It wasn't just that. There was a whole bunch of judgment attached to everything. It was very clicky. Where if you weren't part of the upper echelon of society, you were just worthless in the eyes of the church. You know, you couldn't even ask the pastor questions.
Experience with church has been pretty good all your life then?
Yeah. That's good.
Do you have anything else that you would like to say about the experience with the church?
No, it's just a blessing. That's all I say. It's a blessing.
What's your favorite thing about church?
My favorite thing? Seeing somebody get saved. That would seeing someone get saved. That's definitely, it's an unreal experience. You can't explain it.
If you have questions or need support, people there is always in the church there for support. All you got to do is just ask questions. It's just been a good experience because my faith is stronger and stronger every day I go to church.
See, I grew up in a church that ended up teaching a lot of false teachings, and church fell apart. And then, you know, was out of church for many years and ended up getting married, having children. I didn't want my children to grow up not knowing Jesus Christ. So my wife and I found a local church that was a starter church, non-denomination. I don't necessarily like the labels on the churches. I feel that they tend to preach their beliefs and not necessarily the Bible. That's my outtake on things.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you guys here. Lights are super bright, so step into the light. Those of you who joined us online today as well, welcome. We're glad you decided to sit in with us as well, too. Have a blessed day. Cody and I hit the streets in Orange and Culpeper to ask people about what their experience about church, you know, whether it was good, bad, non-existent. As you saw, I even interviewed a couple of our trailblazer hikers. People who have all kinds of church experiences. Some are great, some are not so great, some a little bit in between. We got a lot of different answers. Many of the people we talked to had a past experience of attending church, but for whatever various reasons now, they weren't attending church anymore. But they often talked, and I found this really interesting, they often talked about how they still pray all the time. Some mentioned they are spiritual, but not really religious, that they were in effect associating attending a church service as being religious. Our perspective of what the church experience should be greatly impacts what our actual experience is. You know, unfortunately, I think our perspective is often not really based on what the church experience is, or maybe what God wants it to be for us, but it's based on our perspective of what church people should be like. You know, and when people don't measure up to our perspective, then our whole church experience doesn't measure up either. Or perhaps when we think about our church experience, we tend to automatically in our mind go to the Sunday morning service. Was the message meaningful and relevant? You know, was worship inspiring? that I get to see some of my friends I haven't seen all week. You know, well, these are all things that can and they should be experienced, both on Sunday morning, but also throughout the week as well. Because there is so much more to the church experience than just that. If we follow what God wants for us, and we understand his desire for our experience in his church, to be the church, there's so much more to it. We can't base our church experience just on what works for me personally, because our church experience is interwoven so much so with others in our church and other people. And it's interwoven with God as well. So we can't just base it on ourselves. You know, we shouldn't allow ourselves to think of our church experience in the first person, but instead let it be defined by the fullness of the experience as it involves others and God. At the heart of the church experience is our relationship with each other and with God. The church experience wraps around both God and people. We cannot have the fullness of the experience that Jesus intends for us if we don't enthusiastically embrace both of these relationships. So today I'm encouraging you to ask yourself this: what about my experience? Am I missing out on something that would transform my entire church experience to a whole new level? And to find the answer to that, we're going to be exploring one simple question today. What does Jesus desire for his church to experience? As we continue our journey this morning through Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is going to give us some insight into answering this question. If you'd like to follow along with us in your Bible or in your phone or wherever you read along with in the Bible, Ephesians 5, 18 through 24 is where we're reading at. During this season with COVID-19, not only has the normalcy of our daily lives been deteriorating, but for many, their church experience has also deteriorated. It has become less. It has been found wanting. For many followers of Jesus Christ, the vision of Jesus' church is growing a little blurry. The confidence of our calling, the assurance of our identity, and the level of our accountability can begin to take backstage to other quests and concerns in our lives. In Ephesians 5:18, the Apostle Paul, he not only talks about this danger, but he also tells how to defeat it as well. He writes, "Don't be drunk with wine," he says, "because that will ruin your life." He says, "Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, you may say, "Well, I don't even drink wine, or I don't get drunk on wine, so how does this apply to me?" Well, you need to remember that back in Paul's day, you know, they didn't have TV and the internet when they wanted to burn some time. They just sat on the front porch drinking wine and watching the Roman soldiers parade up and down the road in front of them. So are there other things that besides wine that can become drunk, we can become drunk on? Things that will ruin our lives, things that will take our focus away from the church experience that God wants for us to enjoy. I believe there are. Here are just a few things that I Googled, but this is not an exhaustive list by any means. Adults on average spend 5 hours and 4 minutes of watching 5 hours and 4 minutes of television per day, 77 days per year. Americans spend 5.4 hours a day on their phones. Projections for social media use estimates the average adult will spend 6 years and 8 months of their life on social media. Paul tells us not to be drunk on wine because it will ruin our lives. There are many things besides wine that could ruin our lives. Things that steal our time and turn our focus away from God and other people as well. This diminishes our church experience because our church experience is our interaction with God and with other people. And not just the people we go to church with either. Everyone, believers and unbelievers alike. Instead, Paul encourages us to live a full and fruitful life by being Spirit-filled. He says, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instead of what? Instead of letting our lives, our minds, be filled with things that cause our church experience to be less than what God desires for us. He says that it's so easy to let ourselves be caught up in today's events, right, and locus, and lose our focus. We prevent that by being filled with God's Spirit. This season of life, this year, has been insane. With the elections, with the politics that are going on, with COVID, with so many things that are happening, the rioting, it's so easy for us to lose focus what God wants for us and the church experience that he wants us to enjoy. So easy. You guys may remember the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. It was the resurrection day, the day that Christ was resurrected. And they were walking along the road. They were just talking to each other about what had happened in the last few days, about what had happened to Jesus. And so Jesus joins them. He starts walking alongside of them. And they don't know who it is. They don't know it's Jesus. And so they just start talking. It's 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. So they had plenty of time to talk. And so Jesus starts telling them, talking to them about the scriptures, all the scriptures that point towards him and what had to happen, and that everything that just happened over the past 3 days had to happen. And the scriptures pointed to that. So when they finally reached their destination, the disciples told Jesus, won't you come and spend the night with us here? Won't you have dinner with us? And so Jesus said, okay, I will. And he goes in. They sit down to dinner. Jesus takes the bread. He breaks it. He has a blessing on it. And when he does that, as soon as he does that, the disciples' eyes are open. And they realize it's Jesus sitting there, that they've been with Jesus all day. And then Jesus just disappears. What about you? What if you were sitting there? What if you were one of those two disciples? What would you be thinking when the veil came off? I've been with Jesus all day long. What would you be thinking? What would you say to each other? What would you be feeling to have that opportunity? This is what the disciples said. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? You think your reaction might be like that? You know, how many of us would love to have the opportunity to walk on the road with Jesus? And just have him for several hours just to talk to him walking along the road. But here's the thing. That is our church experience. That's what God has for us by living a Spirit-filled life. It is the Spirit of God that lives in us that reveals the things of God to us. It helps us to understand why God is so worthy of our worship, to understand all the things that he's done for us, and to help him to understand those things about ourselves, the things that we either try to ignore because I don't want to go there, or the things we just don't see. You know, that God helps us with that. The Spirit helps us to understand those things because God is bringing us to perfection. That's part of the experience, the church experience, to walk with Jesus, and we can do that. You know, when we live a Spirit-filled life, there is a fire. There is a fire that burns in our hearts. It kindles a passion for life, for a life that embraces and enjoys God and all of his people. That Spirit burns in our hearts. Just like those two guys, man, those two disciples, when they realized it was Jesus, they thinking back and said, man, I knew there was something different about this guy. My heart was burning in me. There's something different about him. Oh, yeah, it was Jesus. We have the same opportunity by living a Spirit-filled life. A Spirit-filled life keeps us focused on the activity of God, and not only focused on it, but engaged in it, in his activity in the people around us and his activity within ourselves. As he brings each one of us into the fullness of Christ, we need to engage in God's activity. You know, we have the outreach coming up here in Culpeper next Saturday, the gas buy down. You know, we need a lot. We have like two, the last time I looked, we had like two ministry partners signed up for that. We need a lot more people to come out to engage into what God is doing. The hope of this gas buy down is to help people to understand that Jesus is still alive. Because we live in a world where people maybe wonder whether that's the case or not anymore, or whether he's even relevant. And he is. And so the opportunity to help somebody, to help pay for a little bit of their gas, but a chance to talk to them and to tell them that Jesus loves them. Engaging in what God wants this world to know and understand. Engaging in his activity. But also to engage with each other, to work alongside of someone else who has the same goal, the same passion as you do. To make Jesus known to every single person that we meet. It's just for a couple of hours. I encourage you to come out. Be a part of it. You know, the one thing that I've noticed also about this season of COVID virus is that construction work has not slowed down at all. You know, God is a professional builder. He's a Class A contractor. He specializes in redemptive and restorative rebuilding of broken lives. And he is always working. He invites us to join him all the time. And then the question is not his invitation, does it exist? The question is, will we accept his invitation? The Spirit-filled life is the power behind our church experience. We have to have that as being part of our life, to be Spirit-filled. We know from Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus in the third chapter of John that we receive the Holy Spirit by putting our trust and our faith in Jesus. We are spiritually born again. A new person with a new hope and a new purpose in life. You know, a purpose that's not just centered around me anymore. We have a purpose that spans the globe, the universe, that spans history and time, because our purpose becomes God's purpose. And so he's given us a purpose for life by being spirit-filled, that we can focus on what God is doing to make Jesus known. However we do that, wherever we do that, whether it's here in Culpeper or whether it's on the other side of the planet, we have a purpose in life that God gives to us. That's so much more than just about me. You know, we all have personal goals, and we should. You should all have personal goals that you're striving for in life, the things that you want to do, the things you want to accomplish, your bucket list. What's on your bucket list? But God gives us a purpose for our life that's much bigger than just us. And it's so incredibly exciting to be a part of that and to see him working, engaged, and to be a part of engagement with him. We are not born again just to be dormant, you know, alive in Christ. I've received salvation. I put my faith in Christ. But there's so much more to it than that. God wants us to be alive and engaged. He wants us to be active. The greatest, most exciting church experience is one that is not only alive, but is actively engaged in what God's doing. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul encourages us to engage in the Spirit, to do life with him. He tells us plainly that we will miss out on the church experience that God desires for us, if indeed we allow ourselves to disengage from the Spirit of God. He writes in 1 Thessalonians, "Always be joyful, never stop praying. Whatever happens, give thanks." Really good advice for the day and age we live in, if we keep doing these things. He says, because it is God's will in Christ Jesus that you do this. He says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't despise what God has revealed. Instead, test everything. Hold on to what is good. Keep away from every kind of evil. If we lose our joy in God, if we stop praying, if we stop giving thanks, we begin to put out the Spirit's fire. Are we letting the times and the current events that we live in put out our fire? Are we testing everything? Everything we hear on the news, everything we see on social media, every viewpoint or opinion that someone tells us, are we testing it? And are we holding on to what is good? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, helps us to discern between good and evil. Paul says, hold on to what is good. If we allow the Spirit's fire to go out, then we begin to lose the ability to discern between good and evil. And we begin to lose the ability to hold on to what is good. Fear and uncertainty begins to creep into our thoughts and heart. Our church experience, our relationship with God and other people begins to deteriorate. It becomes less, and we begin to find it wanting. We need to each examine our own life. Are we drunk on anything that waters down or extinguishes the Spirit's fire? These things cause our church experience to be subpar to the experience that God wants for us. You know, Paul, this is important. Paul says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Listen, he is saying it is on us if our fire goes out. He says we cannot blame God, other people, or current events if our fire goes out. If our fire goes out, it's because we let it go out. It's because we became disengaged with God's Spirit. It's because we lost our focus. Paul says, don't let your fire go out. But no worries, because next Paul tells us how to keep the fire burning. He tells us how to keep the flames forever burning. He writes, singing psalms in Ephesians 5, 18 and 20. He says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of your Lord Jesus Christ. Worshiping God is a sign of a Spirit-filled life, because it is God's Spirit in us that reveals to us that God is worthy of our spirit, of our worship. It is God's Spirit in us that motivates us and puts that passion and that fire in our heart to worship our awesome God. You know, I love the worship teams we have at Mountain View. Today's morning was just awesome. You know, sometimes down in Orange, I'll sit because the worship team will rehearse one more time before the church starts, where church starts down there. And I'll sit in the back of the room, and I'll just listen. You know, and it's like I have my own personal worship concert just to myself. And I can just sit there and close my eyes and listen. You know, and the knots and the tangles of the week, they just begin to melt away out of my mind. And the flame it burns a little bit brighter. And my church experience goes a little bit deeper because of the opportunity to worship our awesome God. In the Sunday morning church experience, the worship time is us talking to God. And the message is God talking to us. You know, if we miss out on part of the worship time on Sunday mornings, then we miss out on part of our church experience. Our church experience becomes less because we've missed on that opportunity to talk to God during worship. We're singing songs, we're praising God, but there's other things we're talking to God about as we go, right? As we're worshiping. Maybe we're confessing sins that week. We're trying to purify our hearts before God. Maybe we're just praising Him for something He did. He answered this little tiny prayer for you, and you're like, I can't believe He did that. And you know, you asked the prayer, and you know that He answered it for you, and you can't deny it. And that's part of your worship time that morning, is bringing it back up and telling God. And if we miss out on that, if we come in halfway through the worship time and we miss out on that, our church experience is less because worship is such a vital part of our church experience, both on Sunday mornings but also throughout the week. And Paul explains this truth in Romans 12. He writes, and so, dear brothers and sisters, he says, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn and know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Paul tells us that we can worship God every day of our life by living a holy and sacrifice, being a holy and sacrifice, living a sacrifice, holy sacrifice. I'll get it right. He says we do this by not copying the behavior and the customs of this world. You know, if we worship God in this way, then our experience begins to grow to a whole entirely new level. How many times I've heard people say, I want to know what God's will is, just for me. You know, we know many things about God's will because they're in the Bible. We can read a lot of things about God's will. We can know God's will for the church. But what about me? What does God want from me? What is God going to do in my life? Paul says that we can learn God's will for us by living that kind of a life, by worshiping God. We will learn. The Spirit will reveal God's will for us personally, just me and just you. You know, we become a new person when we worship God because we have a new way of thinking. And Paul says, then you will learn to grow in God's will. Our church experience will no longer be found wanting. It will no longer be less. How is all this even possible? Because we have a King who leads us into all things, a King who will never leave us, and a King who was willing to die for us. Jesus fills the predominant role of our church experience, and Paul talks about that role in Ephesians 5. He says Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of His body, the church. We are the body of Christ, and Jesus is our Savior. For a leader to effectively lead others to grasp a vision and to accomplish the goal, they need buy-in from their co-workers. A leader, a king, needs loyalty to his kingdom, in his kingdom. Jesus, our King, He has declared His loyalty to us already in many ways. I've listed three. He promises, I will never leave you or forsake you. And He won't. Sometimes we're walking along that road to, talking to Jesus, and sometimes it feels like, well, maybe He's not here. He's there. Sometimes you just walk quietly, reflective. But He says, I will never leave you. And He won't. You can take that promise. And then probably the greatest words ever written on the page of a book are these. Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down as a ransom for many. He allowed to happen what happened. He allowed it to happen for you and for me and for all those who would call upon His name. And last He says, to all who believe in me and accept me, I will give them the right to become children of God. We can't even get our mind around that. We read that and say, oh, that sounds pretty cool. We won't get our mind around that, man, until we see heaven. And then we're going to say, that's what He meant when He said, I will give you the right to become my children. We begin the process now. We see exciting things. We have a Spirit-filled life. If we get to heaven, we actually see Jesus, we're going to understand what that means. That I give you the right to become children of God. Jesus wants us too, though, to be all in, to declare our loyalty to our King. James writes about this loyalty in the fourth chapter of his letter. He says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Jesus is the Savior of his body, the church. In our quest for the ultimate church experience, we must start right there. We must declare our loyalty to our King. We must put our trust and our faith in him. That's where the ultimate church experience starts, right there. We must be all in. Our loyalty to Jesus cannot be divided between him and this world. Paul said, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. For what and how has Christ taken hold of you? Is there anything in your heart? Ask yourself, what has Christ taken hold of me for? What burns in your heart? What has he taken hold of you for? You know, we should know these things. Are you pressing into him, especially this time, this season that we're going through? Are you pressing into him? Are you taking hold of that for which he took hold of you? COVID has had a very negative impact on our nation and on the unity of our people. The hope of many is slipping. The vision of the church is becoming perhaps a little blurry. Maybe today we need to say, Jesus, I trust you. I believe you. Lord, I'm all in. Because that's how the ultimate church experience, that's where we experience that at, by making that commitment to Jesus. Because we never stop praying. We never stop giving thanks. We draw close to God, and he will draw close to us. Now, let me pray God's blessings on you before you leave today. Father God, Lord, we love you, Lord. We thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your love. Jesus, we thank you that you were willing. Lord, that you said, no one takes my life from me. No one takes it from me. The Roman soldiers thought they were taking his life from him, but they were not. No one takes my life from me. I give it. I lay it down as a ransom. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you, God, and I pray over each and every person sitting in this room, Lord, or watching us on live stream. I pray, God, your blessings will be on them, that the ultimate church experience will be part of their life, that they will grasp a hold of it. Lord, I pray that they will see and understand and take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of them, that they will press into you, Lord, and they will grab it and they will run with it, whatever it is for each individual person. Lord, I pray that blessing over them. I pray for their lives, Lord, to be spirit-filled, to be engaged with you, Lord, to know joy, to know thankfulness, Lord, and to never cease praying. God, I ask this blessing on each and every one of them today. I thank you for your presence here, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. You guys have a blessed week.